sin, that part of our nature that has rested with us since we were conceived. Sin, that constant rebellion towards our Lord and His promises for us. Sin, those desires that come from our inside and permeate everything we do and say. We try to run from sin. We think we can hide from our sin. We even try to ignore our sin. Yet as we have found out all too often, sin will always find us as it lurks within our very nature. In our text, John is addressing the Gnostics' false teaching on sin, their intertwined theology, and their theological errors were threefold as it pertains to this text. First, the Gnostics believe that union with God is indifferent to sin. Second, that once we're in union with God, sin cannot exist. And that leads to the ultimate conclusion that sin does not exist. Now, from our perspective, this type of theology seems very contrary to Scripture. Day after day in this community, we come and we confess our sins and we pray the liturgy of the church. Daily, we dip our fingers in the font and we make the sign of the cross upon our forehead and heart as a symbol of the daily washing of baptism. Gnostics, who needs them? Heck, we're not like them at all. Wait a minute. Let's take a second look at our world and the pop theology that permeates our time. God is no longer defined by His triune nature. God has become a nebulous creature who does what we please. This nebulous God is one that is in union with all people, Christian or not. In the words of one of the latest TV gurus, who you can catch on prime time, quote, "Sin is not relevant. You must only be true to yourself. Self has no original sin, except for that that has been thrust upon it by a conservative church and a conservative society. We are okay." End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we can see that the Gnostics are alive and well, and sin and Satan is having free reign in many parts of our society. We are okay. No, we're not okay. Again, we would rather avoid our sin that permeates us. We would love to put it in a box, cast it aside, and ignore it, and say it doesn't even exist. For us, the temptation is to live with the gospel and ignore the law. As a seminary, we prepare men for the ministry so that they can care for the flocks with which they have been entrusted. Daily, the pastor must remind the flock of their sin, and after opening the festering wound of sin, the pastor must gently relieve the pain with the salve of the gospel. God's holiness demands punishment for our sin, and it is because of this punishment that God, out of love, sent His Son to the cross for the sin of the world. Through this death and resurrection, atonement is made. This sacrifice is not only for the elect, as John Calvin and others have taught, but as our text proclaims, for all mankind. For the men who are in this room who are training for the holy ministry, it is always important to remember that while other vocations are worthy of the time and the talents of God's people, and they too have the right and the privilege to proclaim, the ministry, the office of pastor, is unique in its importance. For example, a doctor is a learned man who spends time caring for people. The doctor prescribes drugs and chemicals for the body. These toxins can many times take care of the problem, but ultimately, the cure is only for a short time. Ultimately, sin will run its course in the feeble body of the sinner, and they will die. Ultimately, the doctor will fail. A lawyer is a man who works hard learning the measure of society towards itself. The lawyer will administer the law and proclaim your innocence from the law to a judge. The judge will ultimately declare the individual guilty or not. However, we all know that we would be found guilty of every charge if the judge knew our heart. Who has not killed a person with a thought or lusted after the possessions of a neighbor? Yes, with our guilt truly exposed, death and the punishment would soon follow. Christ intercedes as our righteous advocate, as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christ's intercession for our sins is not the same as the doctor who applies a chemical that will ultimately fail, or a lawyer that will whitewash a situation so that the judge doesn't see what's inside. No, the drugs might heal for a short time, and the judge might be blinded from the wrong committed, yet both will fail on prolonging their fate because of sin. The office of the pastor is different. What we do here seems like foolishness to the world. What we do in our parish seems like foolishness. Yet, what we do is prepare men for death, because through death, as Christ rose, they too will rise. Christ is the one who takes unto himself the disease of our sin. Christ is the one who takes the punishment so that we are declared not guilty. In our text, we are reminded that Christians are not free from sin as a license to sin. If sin was a characteristic of Christians and forgiveness was freely available, we might as well react like the people of Rome who said, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" John, as Paul, as he wrote to the Romans, has made it clear in his message today that the purpose is that Christians should not sin. Yet we know, ultimately, we do. And this sin, if unconfessed, is incompatible with the fellowship of God. The aim of our text and the law of God is for sinners to recognize their sin and to confess it. As future pastors in Christ's church, you will be called on the stand to stand in the stead of Christ and forgive the sins of the sinner. As the penitent recites those words of sorrow to you and God, you as the mouthpiece of God will pronounce the forgiveness because of what Christ has done. Christ, the propitiation for our sins, has completed the task. This is the same Christ that you, as a pastor, have been baptized into. This is the same Christ that gives you his body and blood to drink. And this is the same Christ who speaks to you through his proclaimed word. And you, dear brothers, training to become pastors, will in Christ stand someday. Give that assurance to the forgiven as you constantly point them to the font, the altar, and the cross. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.